is a difficult message to proclaim. It's a difficult message to hear, but it is the truth. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. We sat around tables and we talked about food, weather, families, possibly prayed. And then we said, thank you, Jesus. Okay, Thanksgiving's open, over. What comes next? Christmas, of course. And this Christmas, what are you going to do? You're going to put yourself in debt. You're going to buy the most perfect gift for the ones you love because you love them. What are you going to talk about at Christmas? The lights? The Christmas Eve service? The weather? How much you love one another? Are we going to talk about Jesus? I mean, Christmas is Christmas. We said it for the first time. We were out shopping. I forget where, but we said, Merry Christmas. We get to say it now legally. I think you said, I was like, what? But now we're going to say Merry Christmas to just about anybody on the planet, right? But will we have that conversation about the place nobody wants to go? Because Christmas is the easiest time to share the gospel. And part of the gospel is that other place, hell. Nobody likes to say hell almost as much as people don't like to say Jesus. We don't want to say Jesus because what will people think of me? Or what I struggle with most of my life is, what if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? So we just skirt around the discussion anyway. I'm not called to be the guy to go one-on-one and say, you need a savior. If you don't accept Jesus, you're dying and go to hell. That's not me. I'm the guy that creates the atmosphere where I encourage you to take God's word and be bold and courageous. I think that's what we prayed this morning. And I want to pray that again so that this year, Christ Little Topahawken Church will be bold and courageous, that Christ Little Topahawken Church will be a light in this dark world. And I'm preaching to myself because I just confessed, I don't go up to people one-on-one and say, you need a savior. And I think God is calling me to change, to be bold and courageous, because there is an urgency. The world is dying and going to hell. And I'm just seeing how imperative it is for me / us to proclaim the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would go before me, that I would be emptied out of myself and filled with your spirit. God, I stand in your presence, so I cannot lie. God, I pray that these words would fall on open hearts and minds, that the deceiver wouldn't deceive, but that we would be attentive, not to my words, because they're few, but to your word, that are many. Speak to us now through your spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are many places I would like to go to see, to experience. For 30 years, I've been trying, well, honestly, to get back to Niagara Falls. I was there when I was 9 months old. Story says I cried the whole time. But I have yet to behold Niagara Falls. I would like to go to Africa. I'd like to go to Ireland. One day, I would love, 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 love to get back to Scotland. I'm sure all of us could come up with a list of places we'd like to go. And of course, there's some places I don't care anything about going to. I have no desire to go on a cruise. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to the hospital unless I'm visiting. There are some places people just don't want to go. The truth is, there is one place where no one in their right mind wants to go. And that place is what we call hell, right? Is there anybody here who want to go to hell? I didn't think so. But some people may live in such a way that they might wind up in hell. But when it comes right down to it, nobody wants to go to hell. The truth is, hell is a place which everyone is headed. Until they meet Jesus Christ and allow him to become their Savior. This is not my idea. This is what God's word says. I'm not making it up. Jesus has something to say about this place called hell. Most of the Bible speaks to hell. It mentions heaven in relation. There is a whole lot of information. And what Jesus has to say about hell, everyone in this room needs to hear. The fact of the matter is, everybody on the planet needs to hear what Jesus has to say about hell. Jesus wants us to know that hell is real and that hell is a terrible place. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You've heard it all before. But have you read it? God's word is full of information to equip us to tell the lost, the dying, of their physical state. I just can't say that, looking at this, so I won't. I'm here today to tell you that no one has to go to hell. You don't have to go there. Something we need to understand is that hell is an actual place. The Bible is clear. God's word teaches us that there is a literal place called hell. Matthew, you can either believe what the word of God says, or you can believe the lies of the devil. There's a choice, and with that choice comes an action. So if hell is real, and it is, then who will be there? The devil and his angels, yeah. Matthew 25 tells us why hell was created. Hell was designed as a place of eternal punishment for Satan and his demonic followers. Thanks for knowing. Followers. And if you're familiar with Revelation 20, you know that it is a place that after the end of the tribulation period, Satan, along with the Antichrist and the false prophet, will be cast into hell. Jude chapter 6 speaks of those angels who were lovely at one time, who turned and chose to follow sin. Now God has them chained up in prisons of darkness, waiting for the judgment day. This is what we read in God's word. So is hell just a place for fallen spiritual beings who have rebelled against God? Please say no. Because no, it's not. In Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, Jesus tells a story of a rich man who died and went to hell. It's a little picture, a snippet of what hell will be like. And it's pretty not too good. So listen to what Jesus says. There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he's here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want them to be warned so they don't have to end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and they'll turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead." The message is so simple and clear, and we hear it week after week, and we're kept from understanding it. We're kept from owning it and kept from proclaiming it. Why? Fear, pride. Or do we really love the lost the way Jesus loves me? Because I was lost, according to God's word. I was destined for hell. You are destined for hell if you have not received Jesus. And we sit with our friends and our family and the people at the stores and everything, and we remain silent. This year it needs to change. Yes, church? We will lovingly be obedient to the call of Christ. The Bible is clear about who will be in hell. Psalm 9, verse 17 tells us that the wicked shall be sent away to hell. This is the fate of the nations forgetting the Lord. I'm going to read that again. The wicked shall be sent away to hell. This is the fate of all the nations forgetting the Lord. The bottom line is this: everyone who rejects God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ will go to hell. That's the God's honest truth. God's word is true. Yes? I'm not sharing my thoughts. I'm sharing God's word. Don't take my word for it. Stand on God's word. Jesus said in John 8:24, Jesus, "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will indeed die in your sins." John 8:24. 2 Thessalonians 1:9-10 says, "They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and be marveled at among those who believe." We're going to stand in awe. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. I preached the word of God to you. I'm telling you the truth here, and you must believe. What this means is that anyone who has not trusted in Jesus Christ by faith is headed to hell. Am I getting that point abundantly clear? Religious people, Moral people, friends, relatives, family members, anyone who has not acknowledged Jesus as Savior is headed to this terrible place called hell. Church, we need to get this point. Listen, it's not that they'll be lost someday. They're lost this day. There is no hope. And someone, and not just me, has to be bold and courageous. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, the truth. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. No one survives the wrath of God. And in verse 12, we're reminded, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners in the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Without God, John 3:18 tells us where we stand. Do you want to hear this one? Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Thank you, Jesus. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know Jesus. And because you know Jesus, all of a sudden, you take on this burden, this concern. You want to seek to tell the lost. You can't save them. I can't save you. For a lot of years, I thought I was going to save the world, drawing pictures for Jesus. Yeah, the doors of heaven would be flung wide open because I was standing up. Jesus saves. We tell. John 3:36 makes this point very clear. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath, listen, remains on him. It's there. Something has to take it away, and the something is Jesus. And until we allow him to do the work, we are going to suffer the wrath of God. Do you understand? People without Christ already have their ticket to hell. And the only thing that will save them is coming to know Christ for their salvation. This is where it gets a little tricky. Do you realize that there's some in this room that may be going to hell? We already know that righteous and moral people can be going to hell. It's not that you go to church every Sunday. It's not that you give this awesome tithe. It's not that you don't kick the cat and you're good to your kids. It's that you know Jesus Christ and you've allowed him to come into your life and mold and shape and recreate you into what he would have you be, a disciple, a minister of the gospel. We have a message to tell to the nations. Does anybody know that hymn? Yeah, we could burst into song right now, but are we? If you have never acknowledged Jesus as Savior, you are one of those who are going to take up residence in that terrible place called hell. And sadly, many in this world do not know that they are separate from God. Why? Because they're blind to their own spiritual condition. We're dulled and we have no clue until someone says, They've not had opportunity to hear the message of the gospel. So let's let 2 Corinthians chapter 4 shed some light. Again, these are not my words. This is God's word about a place nobody wants to go. Chapter 4 says it is God himself in his mercy who has given us, listen, this wonderful work of telling his good news to others. This ain't a job. This ain't a vocation. This is a privilege. You know the two things I like to do. Talk about God and eat good food. And I do that. I get to do it on Sunday. Every week I live for this day. This is a wonderful work of telling his good news to others. And so we never give up. This is chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We're not interested in fooling anyone. We never try to get anyone to believe that the Bible teaches what it doesn't. All such shameful methods we forgo. We stand in the presence of God as we speak, and so we tell the truth, as all who know us will agree. If the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it is hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Satan, who is the god of this evil world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. We don't go around preaching about ourselves, but about Christ Jesus as Lord. All we say of ourselves is that we are your slaves because of what Jesus has done for us. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made us understand that it is the brightness of his glory that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in a perishable container that is in the weakness of our body. Everyone can see that the glorious power within us must be from God. It's not our own. I don't stand here in my own strength. I stand in the power of Jesus through his Spirit and because of the prayers of the saints who carry me every week before I stand here and will carry whoever stands in the pulpit before they speak. I hope that all summer you were prayed for. Did you pray for him? Please say yes. We're going to have someone else stand in the pulpit next week. Please pray with and for him because he's proclaiming the gospel. John 1, 4 and 5 tells us eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Praise Jesus. Say that once more louder. Praise Jesus. The condition of a lost person is that they've never seen the light. They're separate from the Lord, but they don't know it. And they don't recognize their need to come to him. And why would they if no one tells them? Do you grasp the urgency? One day in hell, their separation is going to be made painfully clear. To be separate from here on earth is one thing, but to be separate from his love and his grace and his power and his glory and the hope that he gives will be intolerable beyond any description in eternity. Just dip your fingers so you can quench. We have no idea. I know I don't want to be there, though. To be separate from everything that is good for all eternity, with no hope of escape, is too terrible to even conjure a picture in my mind. And yet this is the fate of every lost sinner who does not know Christ and dies without them. They're going to be begging to the people on the other side of the chasm that nobody can cross. Think of the remorse of those who never heard the gospel or chose to reject it. It's for you, James. Okay, I'm taking it. The Bible is clear. One day everyone will stand in the presence of God and give an account for what they did with Jesus. And for those, the doors of heaven will be flung open wide. And for those who reject his love, unquenchable fire, intense, unsatisfied thirst, misery, pain, frustration, and separation. And listen, the undiluted wrath of God. Pay attention here. This is what Jesus experienced on the cross for you. You can receive what he did for you, or you can go to hell and feel the full force of the wrath of God for yourself. Does hell sound like a place you want to spend eternity? And why should your neighbor, your best friend, or enemy? It's a terrible place. And everyone's going there if they don't meet Jesus. God has given people a means of escape. He's also given us a charge to those who believe to make it known. This is not what I want to do, Lord. But because you called, where you go, I will go. Where you lead, I will follow. Very simple. Escape from hell is faith in Jesus. And what he did when he died on the cross and when he rose from the dead. I love testimony. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And he lives in you. The steps for entering life with Christ and avoiding hell are very simple. Simply recognize the fact that you have a sinful nature. That's how we come into this world, and quite honestly, that's how we leave the world. Our nature doesn't go away until. Romans 3:10 tells us there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 explains that when Adam's sin entered the world, it entered everyone. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Do you understand the penalty God has placed on sin? There's a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And that's a spiritual death. We are spirit beings having a human experience, but we all have the capacity to live for eternity. Are you going to live in heaven? Or are you going to live in hell? The choice is ours. Listen to Romans 5, 6 through 9. When we were utterly helpless. I love that. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Now, most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us in that he died, great love for us, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You simply come to a place in your life where you turn from your sins and you place your faith in Jesus for your salvation. Romans 10:9, 10, and 13 tell us, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from the wrath of God, eternal separation, gnashing of teeth, crying out for a drop of water to quench your thirst that you have no access to." Call out to the Lord Jesus is all it takes. God's plan for salvation is simple as pure faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 gives us this reminder. As followers of Christ, listen, it is by grace you've been saved, Christian. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, listen, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to, listen, to do. What are we to do? Proclaim the gospel to any living creature that has an ear to hear. So when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's only one thing left to do. Go! Go, take the name of Jesus with you, and let your light shine. Reflect him well. Today, may the Lord help you be confident in your salvation and increase your burden for the lost. Do you want to give the greatest gift this year at Christmas? Give the gospel. Father, I thank you for your word. A whole lot of scripture has gone out today. And I thank you that it is written down so we can go to it over and over again. That we can read it, meditate, and memorize it. Most importantly, that we have opportunity to share it. God, I pray that this church would be set on fire. God, you have begun a work. If it's just one, let them share the gospel. If it's all, God, let us make a difference in Burnville, in Reading, in Pennsylvania, the United States, to the ends of the world. Let us fearlessly and boldly make known the message Jesus saves. We thank you that you've made this plan of salvation so simple. Help us to believe and give us the courage to proclaim. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.